College campus in Old Westbury, New York.
This is Global Media News on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Barzilla Wright.
And I am Rihanna Rodriguez. This week we have news from Chad, Liberia, Poland, the United Arab Emirates, Japan, Italy, and India.
From Chad.
What happened when President Idris Deby shut down social media for 6 months in Chad? And why did he end his blackout of social media?
From Liberia.
Is there a free media? Guess what could happen if you are too critical of Liberian President Darth Way on the radio? He may shut down your radio station.
From both.
Has press freedom declined in the Tulane? Will the nationalist government of the Law and Justice Party colonize the media?
From Japan.
Have you heard about Mark Williams? How do fans get their music in Japan? Will Sony or Amazon dominate the streaming music market?
From Italy.
Is anonymity on social media a far right than it's
from India?
What is the role of the state in Israeli media? Can journalists in the press be fairly undercovered journalism? Is there press freedom in India or censorship?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University.
U.S. authorities in various African countries have disrupted internet connections, especially during political unrest, state of emergencies, and national exams. This has inconvenienced both businesses and their end users, and it's not unfamiliar at all. Certain African countries like Ethiopia and Chad are known for doing this, for going offline. The first digital blackout occurred in 2007 after Guinea's former president, Lazana Conte, ordered a shutdown in response to protests sparked by his risk region. Ever since, with influence of the increase in social media, 26 Africa's 54 states have had a network disruption, and this is a popular response to the following social unrest of mass anti-government rallies. However, African governments argue that the internet shutdowns are certain.
What is going on in Chad?
So Chad is a very poor country in Central Africa, with a population of around 100 million. Platforms like WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube were blocked for security reasons. This went on for 16 months, beginning in March of 2018, due to intense political stream that Chad's president, Idris Deby, was pushing to keep him in power until 2033. And activists and consumers believe it's in violation of human rights. And it's not clear why the ban was lifted, but internet penetration is low in the future.
Why would the ban lift?
So activists give credit to legal action and international campaigns that helped in the ban, such as Paris-based internet Sans Frontiers, who called on supporters to participate in the protests in Paris and on Jamaica. They used the hashtag Nala Natsi Hachayan and Arabic for wide and broad off to share their experiences. And ultimately, Debbie's decision to end the ban is reflected on how his government's
thanks, Tijana. Let's talk about radio in Liberia. Can you criticize the president of Liberia on the radio in Monroeville? How did President George Weah react when he heard a popular DJ criticize him on Roots FM? Jayla Matera is here to give us some background on Liberian media and the government's attempts to silence the opposition by controlling access to the broadcast medium. Jayla, what attracted you to this topic?
The reason I started to go with this topic is because I'm big on freedom of press and freedom of speech in other countries, and I figured out that in Liberia they're being censored based on their opinions and their critiques for the government. I just felt that kind of deteriorates the country as a whole. And previously I even did my Venezuelan piece on censorship, so I'm just really big on censorship.
Why did the government decide to shut down the Costa show?
So, according to the Daily Observer, a Liberian news source, the government decided to shut down the Costa show because they believe that the host, Henry Costa's content, is thought-provoking and has been very critical of the administration of the president, George Weah, saying how this is an opposition show, because the show is an opposition radio show, and since it's opposing the government believes that the Coastal Show should not be there anymore. So, Augustine Nagby, also known as the General Power, stated that the Coastal Show violated Section 15 of the 11th of the Criminal Procedure Law. This prompted him and the police officers to storm Roots FM and seize any broadcasting equipment. Nagby also even stated that the Coastal Show's license was not valid and that the equipment is being illegally used to tarnish the good characters of officials and the president. I also have a clip here that shows Henry Costa speaking about the government. So in this clip, he talks about the recent riots that has happened in Liberia with students who are protesting the government. So the police arrived, and he speaks about how the police was kind of wearing these clothes that were extremely padded because they were trying to avoid stones being thrown at them. So as you can see, talking about these students and how the police are trying to actually avoid using force, however, these tactics are seen ineffective as there have been reports of individuals with severe injuries due to these mistreatments.
So what do the other opposition parties think about the government's decision?
So according to the New Dawn, another Liberian source, the public is not a fan of what the government did. Four major opposition parties have joined together and created the Collaborating Political Parties, also known as the CPP. So the CPP is made up of the Unity Party, also known as UP, the Liberty Party, also known as LP, the Alternative National Congress, which is known as the ANC, and the All Liberian Party, which is known as the ALP. These groups have joined together and have threatened a sustained mass action against President George Weah. The CPP demanded President Weah to immediately reopen Roots FM and restore all the equipment and facilities. If not, they have stated that they are looking forward to quick action by having a peaceful, nonviolent protest. However, it's not only these organizations that are against what President Weah and his government did. The public is also very aware of what they did, and the public is not a fan of what he did, as the public actually marched to another radio station, which is called Freedom FM, and demanded the shutdown of Freedom FM, because it's basically the same content Roots FM is showing. However, Freedom FM is not an opposition radio show. It's working directly for the government. So the public decided that that was not fair, which is why they decided to riot that radio home show. So here I have another clip where Henry Costa begins to talk about the government and how the government has kind of created attacks for government workers. However, Costa believes this taxing is unconstitutionalized, and he believes that this is going to definitely detriment the public more than benefit the public. So here is my audio fire play. Of holds the kind of stance for a check in the government. So he's kind of that branch from the public and from the government. So he sees these government works and he talks to the public about these government works. So as you can see, he's kind of that balance. He's a check for the government. So he's checking the government. And this is why kind of they wanted his show to be shut down, because if he is openly criticizing the government believes that his words and his actions are making the public go against the government, which is why they ultimately sees his reaction.
What's the President George Weah's stance on this issue?
So it's actually funny, because George Weah is very contradicting in the sense that he kind of chooses both sides, so he plays both sides when he wants to play. So according to Front Page Africa, George Weah has openly threatened the public in Liberia, stating those that consistently insult the president, I want to make it clear, after this, there will be no citizens in the country. I can define you that whoever insults the president will never walk away on the streets free. So hearing that off the bat, you can see that George Weah does not want anybody criticizing his administration or criticizing him, and that he will take action if any occasion that somebody is criticizing him, he will take that action to ultimately find a way to have that person stop criticizing him. And that's from Front Page Africa. On the other hand, according to New Liberian, which is another Liberian source, President Weah supports freedom of speech. It states that the government has proven its freedom of press and on how they haven't infringed on anyone's rights. Now you're hearing two sides of the story, how on one side George Weah and his administration are shutting down radio shows and don't want anybody talking about him or his administration. However, on the other side, it's saying that President George Weah has even submitted a bill with amendments that will ensure no jail time for people who decide to insult him or his family or his administration. So this is why I say George Weah is actually very contradicting in a sense with how his government is working. So he doesn't really have a stance on this. So you can generally put him in if he is for freedom of press or he's against freedom of press. Because if he was for freedom of press, his government would not be going into these radio shows and shutting everything down and taking all these equipment. However, if he is for freedom of press, why isn't he stopping these? Why isn't he stopping his administration and his government? For Global Media News, my name is Jalen Matera. Back to you, Brianna.
Thank you, Jalen. Let's talk about media in Eastern Europe. In both Hungary and Poland, conservative nationalist parties are in power. What's new in Polish media? Is the nationalist populism of the ruling Law and Justice Party a threat to press freedom?
About the relationship between the state and the media during the recent October elections. Paul, what can you tell us about politics in Poland that will help us understand media and press freedom in Poland today? What do we need to know about the current Polish government to help us understand the role of the state media and press freedom?
The far-right Polish political party, PIS, won elections in 2015 and took power. They have nationalist views and want to eliminate private media and opposition voices. Since PIS took power, press freedom has significantly declined. In 2015, Reporters Without Borders ranked Poland 18th in their annual World Press Freedom Index. In 2019, Poland ranked 59th.
How has PIS taken control of the media?
When PIS took power in 2015, it attacked public institutions, took control of courts, and installed party loyalists at powerful public companies. PIS took control of public broadcasting by firing hundreds of journalists at Poland's public television and radio networks. They hired party loyalists in their place.
How has media been affected in Poland?
Since 2015, advertising revenue has shifted to heavily favor right-wing publications. According to Freedom House, from 2015 to 2016, revenue at weekly magazines that are critical of the government dropped. During the same time period, revenue from magazines that are supportive of the government grows significantly. Hard-right nationalist magazine Gazeta Polska had its revenue quadrupled during this time period. Those who report fairly face constant attacks from the government. investigative journalists face the most pressure because they reveal corruption in the government. According to Deutsche Welle, investigative reporter Wojciech Sitnowski of Gazeta Wyborcza had over 50 of his articles in 2018 legally challenged by PIS and other state bodies. They have sued him, demanding for apologies and compensation, with instances of up to 12,000 euro. These legal battles are a big problem for journalists because it takes a toll on them and their work.
What messages are PIS sending through their control?
PIS is using the media to spread their far-right nationalist views. They use TVP as their most powerful campaign tool. TVP is Poland's only public TV broadcaster and the largest television network in Poland. According to the New York Times, TVP has pushed forward a steady stream of pro-PIS stories since the party took power. In a broadcast earlier this year, TVP aired a broadcast that featured former Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk next to images of Hitler and Stalin. The LGBT movement has also been under attack. Earlier this month, 3 days before elections, TVP aired a documentary called Inzwaja, which means invasion. The documentary claimed to expose the true and insidious agenda of the LGBT movement, which is to tear down traditional families. Written publications have also attacked the LGBT movement. Gazeta Polska has distributed LGBT free zone stickers with their magazines. Polish magazine Dum Brzezinski had the headline, "Poland Against the Gay Empire, How We Must Protect Ourselves Against the Terror of Progressives." Reporting for Global Media News, I'm Paul Rapolo. Back to Barcelona.
Thank you, Paul. How do Japanese music lovers listen to music? Is streaming music as popular in Japan as it is here?
Introducing a new music streaming service in Japan called MoQualitas. That's an odd name. Why did Sony name this new music streaming platform MoQualitas?
MoQualitas is exactly what the platform is. Mo in Japan means rhythmic units, and qualitas is a Latin word for quality, which is exactly what Sony's new platform is.
Do you think the streaming service will succeed?
It's hard to tell because in Japan right now they're still in a CD era where everyone's still buying physical CDs, and the new streaming service is a hefty price, and it's $11 more than Spotify, so it's whether or not the citizens of Japan are willing to pay that much money. So with Qualitas, audio quality is the next major chapter when it comes to improving music streaming services. Sony Music Entertainment Japan and Rhapsody International announced a partnership and a new service called MoQualitas, which will be Japan's first high-demand, high-resolution music streaming service. According to the Tokyo Review, Japan's music market is the second biggest music market in the world, but only 14.3% of Japanese use a subscription-based or ad-supported music streaming service, compared to over 20% of the population in most European countries, and close to 50% in China and the United States, according to data from Statista. Japan still has a CD addiction. Streaming was the highest-grossing music medium globally in 2017. However, in Japan, 80% of sales are still physical. Record companies provide incentives to keep people on buying these CDs. For example, if you buy a physical CD, you can vote for your favorite member in the highly anticipated yearly election. A Tokyo-based ICT research and consultant surveyed over 4,000 people online in April of this year and found that the top reason for people not subscribing to music streaming services in Japan was because they were unwilling to pay a fixed charge, followed by the fact that they can simply enjoy free music through YouTube. That data suggests that people aren't willing to shell out for something that has the same physical attachment as a physical CD. Sony Music Entertainment Japan, which is under Sony Corporation umbrella but operates independently from the U.S., will offer subscriptions to more qualitas for 1,980 yen, which is equivalent to $17.50 in the United States for per month. According to the Rolling Stone, the new service will, one, offer Rhapsody's powered by Napster platform, which provides systems, tools, and APIs that will deliver useless music quality at 24-bit, which is high-resolution music, and it will offer the 16-bit CD quality. The simplest way to describe it is it feels like you're in there in the studio with the musicians playing, said Brian Ringer, who is Rhapsody's general manager of the Asia-Pacific region. While globally industry leader Spotify launched in Japan in 2016, Sony and Rhapsody executives say that they expect more qualities to appeal to a different class of consumer, diehard, and tech music fans who want a deeper, rich experience than the norm. According to the Business Music Insider, the official's launch of more qualities closely follows the arrival of Amazon Music HD in Japan. Although it costs a dollar more, Sony hopes people will recommend and suggest more qualities over Amazon HD in Japan. A subscription to more qualities is significantly more expensive than Spotify. However, more is being marketed on the basis of being more premium audio experience. It would be hard to tell whether or not more qualities is worth the extra $11 over Spotify for a better audio experience. From Global Media News, I'm Mark Carino. Back to you, Brianna.
Thanks, Mark. Let's talk about social media and the government in Italy. Shannon Merlo has a report about the debate over a new law in Italy that requires submitting identification before creating a social media account. Shannon, why is Italy imposing this new law, and is there any debate over whether this is a good idea?
Italy is imposing this new law mainly because of bullying on the internet. It started with that, but they are, and that would help with array of things, but especially with social media. They're just trying to stop the bullying and trying to stop everything, like all the effects from it.
What is the reason for this new law?
The law is trying to get a handle on bullying. They realized you can meet anyone but yourself online. That is how being catfish starts. It's online, so no one has to be accountable for their actions or how it affects someone.
How do you think they can enforce this?
They're forming a digital online ID card. That's how they can enforce this law. These updated ID cards won't be just for social media accounts, but for paying bills, taxes, and all your medical records online.
How can they tackle the catfishing epidemic?
They're proposing the idea of having facial recognition for your account. So your facial recognition would have to match your profile picture, or otherwise you can't log on. And that can work because we already have facial recognition for our phones, for our iPhones and Samsung phones. For Global News, I'm Shannon Rillo. Back to you, Brandon.
Thanks, Shannon. My co-host, Barzilai Rai, is ready with a report about media in India. India is an enormous country with many forms of media. There is a vigorous free press, but the government of Narendra Modi also tries to limit and influence the media. Barzilai, what is the role of the government in India in relation to the media? Are there privately owned media in India?
Thank you, Brianna. So I actually do want to talk about today's India. Their government censorship plays a major role in the information that is released to the general public. Everything from politics to music, streaming down to the films, has set a lot of limits on what can and cannot be distributed. There is privately owned media in India. It's actually one of the independently owned medias in India. It's called Independent Reporters of India. There was a collective of journalists who wanted to present themselves against what the government was doing. They did not believe in what was happening. There was one reporter, her name was Rajna Kaira. She was a local journalist who had reported on the local crimes and political corruption that had been going on. And she was charged by the police coming by order from the government for releasing information. She was facing a potential 30-year jail sentence, and this kind of caused an outcry in the country for just the government to take more initiatives to look further into the investigation.
How has censorship affected the way Indian reporters discuss stories?
Thank you for asking that. It seems as if there was actually a decline in 2017, according to the New York Times article that said there was about a 53% decrease in coverage in India on internal political opinions, just for fear that they could be held liable for anything they said. There was also a 50% decrease in the talks about Modi while he was still in office. Now, when President Ram Nath Kovind came into place, he wanted to adapt this Chinese style government censorship on the internet, where everything was limited and only the government could accept what you posted.
Why did India want to use the Chinese style into its censorship?
They wanted to, since China had a control on their people and a lot of the information they were getting was coming directly from the Chinese internet, that they wanted the actual Indian media to be government based information.
Has there been an increase in rebellion from the reporters to the government?
Yes, so there has. So there's actually been about 200% increase in the protest, Borders Without Borders censorship index. That in the last 2 years, India has fell 3 spots down from 35 to 38 in that report. Now, this actually is significant because this shows that India is making changes more towards a solid government-based media. In 2012, India's Supreme Court ruled that bloggers can and will be held liable for any lawsuits or charges brought against them for the content they may choose to post on their website. And then, according to another New York Times article, India has stated that their motive behind limiting creations or reporters and bloggers were that the left wing was attempting to put a bad name to the government. For Global Media News, I am Barzilai. Right back to you, Brianna.
Thank you, Barzilai. That's all for this week. Thanks to our producer and hardworking engineer, Kyle Brodsky. Thanks to my great co-host, Barzilai Wright. Today, we heard reports from Dejana McCalla, Jalen Matera, myself, Brianna Ordonez, Mark Perino, Paul Rapoli, Shannon Rulo, and Barzilai Wright.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, or Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGNN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with our latest news and for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGNN.